In 1 Corinthians 1:18, St. Paul says that the cross is foolishness to the world, but the power of God to those who follow him. I was reflecting on the cross this week and the meaning of the cross and my experience with the cross, and I was thinking back to a time when I was a young boy and I was sitting in Sunday school and we were talking about the cross. And we talked about all the variations of the cross. We talked about the Egyptian cross and the Greek cross, the Coptic cross, the Celtic cross, all manner of crosses and how beautifully adorned they were and all the history and richness and tradition about that. And I recall leaving that class and going about my life understanding that Jesus was a great teacher, a great moral leader who died and was raised, I was told, to get our attention so that we could be more obedient and follow his example better. And I think that's not entirely an uncommon view of the cross for many of us. And I think, unfortunately, it overlooks the centrality of the cross, the true meaning of the cross. Historically, as many of you know, the cross is an instrument of death, a symbol of torture, a tool of execution. The Greek and Roman Empire executed thousands of criminals using a cross. And as I thought about that and reflected on that this week, I thought, what kind of faith would celebrate a symbol like that, a bloody, gory symbol of death, and celebrate the death of its leader on a cross, executed among two criminals? And the symbol of their faith is the execution platform. Certainly not a good campaign, good marketing campaign for the faith, but how strange, how foolish, how scandalous. Well, many of you have heard and understood that the cross is symbolizes Jesus' death to cancel the debt of our sin that we owe because of our offense to God and to our neighbor. And therefore, the cross, the work on the cross, liberates us and sets us free. Put another way, Jesus' message of the cross is that I've fulfilled all the demands of God on your life. I've taken the penalty. I've lived a perfect life. I've died a perfect death. So all the pressure is off. And you are now free to live and to rest in that finished work. And so I think the message of the cross, to capture its essence, is to be about that freedom, that liberation, that transformation, and that change that is supposed to be wrought by Christ's work on the cross. So in the abstract, we can get our heads around that, but how do we get our hearts around that? And how do we apply that, the work of the cross, the true essence of the cross, to how we live? So I wanted to share with you two thoughts on that score that have been helpful to me and hopefully be helpful to you. First, that the cross is the great equalizer of all men. It's been said that Christ, being in the center, in between the two criminals, divides the whole world. One criminal recognized Christ for who he was and gave him praise and honor, and the other rejected him because he wasn't delivering the freedom on the cross at the time. So he divides the whole world in two, every man. But more importantly, the cross is the great equalizer because he sets us all on the same footing as we stand before the cross. And by that I mean if we properly understand the true meaning of the cross and the mercy that's extended to us from the cross, then we understand that we bring nothing to the table. We embrace the cross by the mercy of God. Flesh and blood did not reveal it to us, but the Spirit of God revealed who he is and what he's done. And so no man can boast. And so there's no longer any us versus them. There's no Christian versus non-Christian. The cross is the great equalizer. I bring nothing to the table. I stand only on the work that Christ did on the cross and not anything that I did. So my life of faith is not about doing, but it's about being, and it's about resting and trusting and believing what he said, that the work is finished. So the cross is the equalizer of all men. And secondly, in terms of practical application, the work of the cross helps me understand how I'm to live and how I'm to love. And put another way, the size of the cross in your life has a direct correlation to your ability to love and to live and to forgive. And so what do I mean by that? Well, if the cross is little for you, if it's a tiny little symbol that you wear around your neck and it's just as simple as it was for me in Sunday school, then it's not going to have power, it's not going to transform, it's just going to be a brand, part of your brand of Christianity, a symbol, like a marketing brand. But if the cross is big, if it's big in your life, if it's huge, and you understand and you are able to grasp just this scandalous notion that we didn't do anything to earn our salvation, our forgiveness, then it's going to humble us. It's going to place us low. We're going to be able to give lots of grace, lots of mercy, and lots of forgiveness because, as the scripture says, whoever's been forgiven much loves much. So for me, this is the toughest one. My cross has varied in size over the years, and I have to confess that I can love people well who love me back. And for most of you, that you reciprocate so well, and I'm so pleased about that, and that I can extend love to you. But if you don't love me well, and there's lots of people out there that don't, in my own terms, it's tough to love back. And I catch myself and I think, why can't I extend that grace that we talk about every Sunday? Why can't I extend that forgiveness that Jesus has extended to me, that I know in my head has been conveyed to me freely while I was yet a sinner, before I accepted Jesus? Why can't I do that? What's wrong? What is the problem? Well, the problem is me. And I need a Savior. And I don't need a Savior once. I need a Savior every day. And so, if you're like me, and I hope you're not, when you find yourself asking yourself, what's wrong? What's the problem? How do I fix this? The fix is in the cross. And so we return to the cross over and over. We keep going back to the well of grace. And that's what he calls us to do. Because that's where we find life, and that's where we find power. St. Paul said in Galatians, may I never boast in anything but the cross. And in the next verse, he says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean anything, but only a new creation. And you see the linkage between my claim in life, my boast in life, my merit, my value, my worth is tied entirely to the cross and the power of the cross. And my doing, my goodness, neither my goodness nor my badness means anything. And so I am a new creation. And because of Christ's work and resting on that, it's not just symbolic, it's life-giving, and it gives the power to change. So when we sing, Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. It takes on new meaning. Nothing do we bring, simply to the cross we cling. We come to him, naked, helpless, desperate, in need of a Savior every day. Looking to him for grace to change us, to transform us. We're foul, we are foul, and foul to the fountain we fly. And we say to Jesus, wash me, Jesus, or I will die. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have revealed these things to us. It's not on our own intellect, it's not on our own discernment or wisdom. You've revealed yourself to us. Thank you that you reveal to us yourself in new and fresh ways. I pray that this season would bring about a new and fresh spirit upon each one here, that we would trust and rest on you and you alone and the power of the cross. In Christ's name, amen.